Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better. And everybody, do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Good Thursday morning and welcome into the Truly Hard Seltzer studios of Fan Run. My mic sounds great, I think. Don't tell them to turn it down. Did you feel was it too hot for you?
No, I was telling you to go up.
Oh, I thought it sounded good. Sorry. It's on me. Welcome, Davey, to the Truly Hard Seltzer studios of Fan Run Radio.
Thank you.
Billy, good morning. Nate, I don't know. Do we want to go there? Do we want to broach this? Do we want to tell everybody what Nate's having to do this morning?
I mean, it's a normal thing.
He's got a date with a vet. His young pup. It's time. Time to make him safe for all the female pups out there.
Snip, 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 snip.
Poor guy. Never even met him. I feel like I'm never really going to meet him now.
I got to meet him one time. He was pretty lively.
You did?
Yeah. He behaved well.
He's probably going to be down.
He's hanging out in here.
Probably going to be down for a couple days after this morning's scheduled surgery. It is a surgery these days, right? Like it's a snip snip, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Poor guy. Pour one out for.
Does
the little Carey man
always say to get your pet spayed neuter like Bob Barker did?
I don't know. I mean, that was like a really big deal for Bob Barker. Like, that was like the thing on The Price is Right, to get your pet spayed or neutered. So good job to Nate for listening to all those Bob Barker recommendations for years on The Price is Right.
I'm talking about like advertising. I mean, like 30 years running pretty much.
Who is that, though, who pays for that? All the vets nationally? Just every vet just gives them a little cut and says, yeah, get the prices right on board. Is there like a coalition?
I would say it's more of like a
Humane Society national saying, hey, we don't need any more stray pets because you can't keep your dogs in the house.
It's probably the government, for being honest.
Well, stray dogs are kind of an issue in a lot of other countries.
I mean, like your local dog catcher there, they can be elected to the position.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, you might be onto something. Anyway, we're gonna trudge through this. It's not a full house today, but we're gonna do our absolute best. I think the place to start is
Zion. I'm just kidding.
I knew at some point today you would do that. Apparently, he had a pretty good debut last night.
It was impressive.
I actually did want to kind of talk about it because you can't turn on ESPN anymore. It's like it's back now.
I didn't watch it. I knew ESPN was going to give me like a clip of every single play he had so I could just go watch that and not have to watch the Pelicans.
And they did. They did. The lead video on ESPN.com is all the good moments from Zion's debut. Apparently, he scored 17 straight.
17 straight.
22 total.
And then they took him out of the game.
Well, they're going to
limit his minutes. Yeah, you got to ease him back in. He hasn't played basketball in a long time.
He played a quarter and a half.
And got 22?
Yeah, 22 points, 7 rebounds.
17 straight points. They did lose to the Spurs, but...
He got them the lead.
Did he really? And then they...
And then they pulled him.
They're worried. He's been injured. He's not in great shape. He's been... eating all that gumbo and jambalaya that you've never had. That's what everybody said. They said he got to New Orleans and the food is good. It's fried. He's just been eating. And he can't work out, or he couldn't for a while with the...
knee.
The knee, then he had like the foot. It's been kind of a mess. But yeah, I figured we'd get into a little Zion talk at some point. Again, you can't really go anywhere to read about sports and not see what he did last night.
I'm just now checking my, you know how you get the ESPN notification? I didn't get this one at 1:24. It just said Alvin Gentry said Pelicans medical staff made decision to take Zion out of game after fourth quarter scoring burst.
The medical staff said, we've seen enough. Don't push him. Interesting. Where I really wanted to start, though, was Lawrence, Kansas. We talked yesterday.
That's what I wanted to talk about as well.
About the brawl, the Sunflower Showdown, throwdown, the duel with the stool. They have officially announced suspensions. Did they get the right guys? Did they get the four guys that everyone wanted them to suspend based on what we saw in the video?
I think they got the right guys based off who K-State and Kansas wanted them to get.
That's what it feels like. It kind of feels like, these are the guys that we think, and we'll send them for a couple games. Obviously, D'Souza got, 13? Is that right?
Is it 13 or 12?
I thought it was 13. I thought it was a weird number.
12.
Really? So he gets 12.
They have 13 regular season games left. Maybe that's what it is, yeah. Just in time for tournament play.
We kind of called that one. Silvio D'Souza will miss 12 games. Some others. Kansas player David McCormick, 2 games. And then Kansas State got James Love, who will miss 8, and Antonio Gordon, who will miss 3. So two players for Kansas got suspended?
Yes.
Two. That's it.
Yep.
Dose.
And one player from Kansas State got suspended. Only
the other guy was the guy. He's a player, wasn't he? But he just wasn't dressed out.
Yeah. So he was a player in the game.
Wasn't he one of the four?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So he didn't play.
Right.
But I mean, he definitely deserved something. I don't know how you suspend a guy who's already not playing. But
I guess it'll have to be next year.
So all those guys that came off the bench and got in the mix, nothing.
That's what I said yesterday. I guess it's just subject to discretion at that point. And I don't feel like any. I don't feel like Dodson or Azubuike got into the mix at all. They kind of just stood there and watched it and made sure nothing like crazy happened.
Man, I really was hoping for Dodson. Didn't look didn't look like Azubuike did anything, so I wasn't even close to thinking they were going to do something to Azubuike, but really thought they might pin a game on Dodson, and I would have taken it. So this is... if we're talking about like best case scenario, this is probably best case scenario for Kansas, not necessarily for Tennessee as they head to Lawrence for the game Saturday.
Yeah, I don't think this changes very much.
I don't think this changes anything at all.
I did want to say, not that it makes a whole lot of a difference, but for D'Souza, he was technically suspended indefinitely, but the Big 12 levied the 12-game suspension, so he might still sit more.
Bill Self at 11 at his little... teleconference said it's an indefinite suspension for him, but we're still waiting and working with the Big 12 to see what the exact suspensions are going to be. He said they reviewed the tape, passed along what they felt, I guess, to the Big 12, and then the Big 12 came back and said, yep, here's what we think. And basically, I'd say both teams kind of got off easy here based on what it was, which, look, if they weren't playing Tennessee this weekend, I probably wouldn't have a problem with it. But as we know, this game probably not going to be pretty, and I would have just preferred as many people to miss for Kansas as possible. But I don't think it comes as any surprise that the Big 12 probably going to do whatever they can to protect, especially Kansas. And in doing so, you kind of have to do what you can to protect Kansas State. So, whatever.
David McCormick averages 16 minutes a game with 7.5 points. And Silvio D'Souza, he averages 8.2 minutes a game with 2.6 points.
So we're like,
he's been terrible.
9.1 points off the ledger there for the Jayhawks.
Yeah, it's two of their, I would say, less accurate shooters too.
Yeah.
I still think it'll be a double digit spread.
Yeah, it will. Yeah, it's just embarrassing. You know, Big 12, they just don't care about the sanctity of the game. It's clear. Bill Self just worried about winning another Big 12 title after they fell short last year. No discipline in college basketball anymore, that's for sure.
I guess if we do want to look at it from a positive standpoint for the Vols, both McCormick and DeSouza are forwards. And so,
yeah, they're like 6'10", 6'9", both.
So, yeah, like getting some of those bigger guys off the court would definitely help to where if you then are able to get Ozebuki in foul trouble, which that happens a good bit, you don't really have any big guys that have at least proven they're going to go in there and just kind of dominate. So,
Whoa, I mean, Fulkerson has had a pretty good little stretch run lately. I mean, he's not like your true big.
I'm saying Kansas.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, Kansas does, like, everybody else they have listed is pretty much a guard.
Outside of Ozebuki, obviously.
Yeah. Like, he's the one exception. But, I mean, of course, he's the center. But, yeah, they have no other forwards that will play.
Man, if only we were a forward-heavy team, you know? Not a guard-heavy team.
Azubuki's actually been pretty good at not fouling this season. He's only had two games where he's had four fouls or more.
He's averaging the team with 43 blocks on the season. The next closest they have is DeSouza with 15.
Okay, so their second leading shot blocker out. It's good. It's a start. You don't see very not
well.
I mean, listen, it's not doing it for me either.
Yeah, no,
it's just
knock
not
on Fulkerson, but you don't have Grant Williams to really take that or put that pressure on Ozebuki like you did last season. I mean, that's why he got in foul trouble, because he just couldn't handle Grant's quickness.
Yeah, I think we got to try to make him foul and then foul him every time he gets the ball. 40% free throw shooter, like, just put him on the line. No easy buckets, no buckets at all. Just make him earn it from the free throw line. I mean, now that you got Plazic, you got an extra five fouls, they're not going to have a lot of bigs to rotate in to spell Ozebuki. I think that's your game plan now.
When you hit the bonus, you definitely just foul him every time down the court. Within reason. Like, if there's
no, just hack a Shaq. Just grab him the minute he crosses half court. Just wrap him up.
We got to make games ugly to win versus these quality
opponents.
This
might be the ugliest game we have to make. This, like, the ugliest.
I mean, if you're already in the bonus, it doesn't matter. Like, if that's the game flow and you've hit the bonus with like 6 minutes to go in the first half, then put Pember in there and say when he crosses half court, foul him. Put him on the line.
One in Stripes says Kansas was already running an 8-man rotation.
That sounds about right.
So these two guys were in that, though, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, so short bench, two big guys out. Yeah, this is probably going to go from, what, like a 16-point spread down to like 12.5? We're hunting it. We're gaining on it now with this suspension news coming out of Lawrence in the Big 12 yesterday. Man, I was really hoping I could get real excited for this game. Like, Dotson's going to be out. Ozebuki maybe gets a game. Obviously, these two guys. Whatever. Big 12 got to protect the Big 12. I get it. Honestly, though, from a 10,000-foot view, the brawl was a bad optic. It wasn't. I don't think it was. I mean, people were saying this is the worst since Malice in the Palace. That thing was on a different level completely. Like, I feel like there have been other fights in college basketball, college sports in general, that were way worse than this. This just looked really, really bad because it spills into the crowd. I mean, there were punches thrown. Did any of the punches actually land? The guy picks the stool up. He didn't actually swing it at anybody because the assistant coach came back and snagged it out of his backswing. It's a bad look, but I guess I can't be too upset by the final result here. If I'm trying to be fair and not a Vol homer for this weekend. Man, really needed Ozebuki to get that game. Really needed Dotson. Any chance for Tennessee this weekend based on this? Like, is this a big enough distraction that Tennessee can go in and pull a surprise? Or does this galvanize the team kind of like it did Tennessee back in the
2000s? Not so much because, like, Tennessee was a heavy underdog again, but you're getting them at full strength. I mean, now, like, if I'm looking at it, I think the best possible situation is that Kansas comes in, they're a little rusty. I think they'll look tired. I'm pretty sure they have had to run their tails
their bleeps off.
Yeah. So yeah, hopefully that.
So the hope is that it was a distraction, and then the fact that Bill Self just ran them all until they were dead legs?
Yep.
I'll take that. I take that.
And again, like, I mean, Tennessee this year compared to years past, like, we're not exactly up there to where they're just spending day after day. They've been preparing for this one for a while.
Fair. I mean, I guess I'll say, like I said this yesterday, it was weird having to wait on the suspensions because you don't know how much that's going to impact the game plan. I think you probably knew D'Souza was going to be out. And then obviously now McCormick. So hopefully that didn't cost us a day of like valuable prep time. And to your point, yeah, like hopefully Bill Self just ran those guys until they couldn't lift their legs. I don't know. I feel like the dust has now settled and I'm not exactly feeling as confident as I was when this brawl took place. Thought maybe we had a shot to go in there and steal some due to some serious suspensions. And I'm not saying the 12 games isn't. Just thought there might be a couple more names on the ledger. Instead, we get two guys that really weren't making that much of an impact for Kansas in the first place. But that game will tip at 4 Saturday. ESPN, correct?
Yes.
Jay Billis on the call?
Dan Shulman, yep.
I wonder if Billis will just go all in on the Big 12 and Kansas for the meh suspension. Seems like something he'd probably do. Some other college basketball news last night. I'm sure you guys saw this. Tulsa hosted Memphis. Did you see this score?
No.
80-40 Tulsa over Memphis last night.
Dang.
I like flipped this on and Tulsa was starting to pull away a little bit early. Did not see this one coming. The halftime score was 40-17. Memphis only scores 23 in the second half. Tulsa, of course, puts another 40 on the board. I don't know anything about this game. That was just a stunning score to see this Memphis team. I mean, it was a road game, but didn't think the Golden Hurricane were going to double up Memphis. They did so with an 80-40 score. Did you guys watch any of the SEC games last night?
I didn't watch them, but like I saw the box scores, and I was like, oh, well, Auburn, they kind of got back on track. They beat South Carolina. I was surprised that Mississippi State beat Arkansas.
Did you know they were favored in that game?
Yes.
I did not know that. But I was surprised when I saw it, and then someone said, no, they were favored. That actually makes a lot of sense.
I was talking to a person the other day who keeps up with SEC basketball good, but he's like, I really think Arkansas is a paper tiger. They have a super weak schedule, and so I think some of their wins from earlier in the season kind of inflating where people are putting them right now. So, yeah, the 77-70 win for the Bulldogs over the Razorbacks probably shouldn't come as that big of a surprise.
No, Mississippi State's good.
Haven't you been pretty high on Arkansas, though? I'm not saying you've done something wrong. I did not think they'd be favored, or I didn't think Mississippi State would be favored over Arkansas, even though it was a road game for Arkansas.
Yeah, I've been actually high on like the top six of the SEC. I know like the league in general, the narrative is it's down, but LSU, Kentucky, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Alabama, and throw in.
You putting Alabama up there?
Yeah, they can score the basketball, and if they're hitting shots, like they're going to be tough to beat. I think those teams are solid teams, and they could give anyone in the nation a run for their money at any given night. They could also lose to South Carolina.
Yeah, Alabama 77-62 win over Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt, did they miss? They missed something like
eight in a row
to start the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were close. They were close to breaking UAB's record from like 2006 of the most consecutive missed three-pointers.
Well, I was.
Then they finally hit a few.
I was keeping track of it, and then someone tweeted at me and said they had missed four in the Arkansas game to end the game.
So they went back to the previous game before Tennessee?
Yeah, so it was actually 29 after the Tennessee game.
Well, they.
So 37.
They didn't win, but they did hit. They hit five threes. So, I guess the new streak has begun. Did you see the letter? Or I don't remember the letter. I mean, I guess it's a letter. The comment Jerry Stackhouse put out to the Vanderbilt fan base. Did you read this?
Yeah, it's kind of. I don't know how to take it. Like, it's kind of embarrassing.
I don't either.
I kind of appreciate it at the same time.
My favorite line in this entire thing comes very, very quickly. Last Saturday's game against Tennessee was a disappointing one. Again, this is Jerry Stackhouse to Vanderbilt fans. We not only lost our home, lost at home to our biggest rival, but we went 0 of 25 from 3, therefore ending the 34-year streak of consecutive threes. As a former college basketball player that was coached by the legendary Dean Smith, I love how he threw that in there. Like, I love that it's like the reminder. It's like we talk about guys getting hired from the Patriots. It's like Bill Belichick, Patriots. Just say Dean Smith's name 4 or 5 times in here if you're Jerry Stackhouse. Remind everyone who you played for. I thoroughly understand the importance of basketball tradition, history, and legacy, and was saddened to watch a piece of Vanderbilt tradition end during my tenure. I was also equally saddened to hear the boos that came after made shots by our young student-athletes. As a coach, I pride myself in teaching these young men the right way to play basketball, and although they were encouraged to take threes at the end of the game, the plays were drawn up. And plays were drawn up for three-point attempts. I can find no fault in our players making the right plays by giving what the defense gave them. Did he type this? Yeah, I think he meant taking what the defense gave them. Whether that be a dunk or a layup. The last 3 minutes of the game, while we were down by 20 and Tennessee began to empty their bench, our starters and best shooters remained in the game and continued to press on defense in hopes of creating a turnover and possibly another three-point opportunity to preserve the streak. Unfortunately, they just could not fall. Commodore Nation, as we mourn the end of the three-point streak, I encourage everyone to support our team as we work to break an SEC losing streak and continue to build the foundation for our program that will ultimately create new traditions and a winning legacy.
What is the consecutive streak for, I guess, most losses in conference by a team?
They are definitely getting their losses out of the way for the next decade with what are they at now? 24 consecutive conference losses?
If you're counting SEC tournament, they lost 19 last year. And then...
Are they 0-5 now this year? Yeah, 0-5 in conference. So 24.
And then they lost... And then they lost... March 3rd was their last one.
Yeah, they lost the conference.
Oh, yeah, they would have lost in the SEC tournament. They ended on a loss at least.
Yep, one loss because they beat Mississippi.
Okay. So 25 straight conference losses for Vanderbilt.
I've never seen anything like it.
Man, I'll be honest. If I'm Jerry Stackhouse, I probably just don't. I don't write this. Like, this isn't like a problem. Like, they're not booing you to boo you. Like, they're booing because they wanted the 3-point streak to continue. And now that it's over, like, I don't think this continues to be a problem. This just feels very like. I don't know. I'm not saying like the job's too big for Jerry Stackhouse. This just seems kind of like a knee-jerk reaction that you probably don't want to bring any more attention to the failure this year. And not only do you bring attention to it, you mention them all specifically. The streak is dead. We're trying to snap a conference losing streak. It's just, I don't know. Like, I probably would have just said, hey, let's move forward.
On the flip side, he's showing everyone how horrible it is in Nashville right now. I mean, that roster is not very good. I mean, he's showing them that he's got a tough rebuild. Is the roster that bad, though?
Am I crazy? Did Bryce Drew not sign a really good class? I know the Garland kid ended up not playing at all, but isn't this a fairly talented roster on paper based on recruiting rankings and how good you thought some of these guys were going to be? I realize they haven't panned out.
I mean, it kind of goes back to, like, the Butch Jones recruiting classes, though, right? Like, if you don't have a guy that
can develop
the players. But Saban Lee is good, yeah. And then,
Saban Lee's good.
But, Smith.
Yeah, he got hurt.
Yeah, that's true. That's
2 years in a row that Vandy's best player got hurt.
Was he better than Lee? Are they about on par with each other?
Yeah, about the same. I mean, it'd kind of be like losing Admiral or Grant last year. Like, either one would have really hurt your team.
They have only 3 stars for their current freshmen right now.
So that would have been the ones that Stackhouse signed, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. What the class before that, though, I thought...
Well, they had Simi Chatou. He was a 5-star.
He went pro, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Darius Garland was a 5-star, and then Aaron Nesmith, he was a 4-star. So they had 3 100 players in last year's class. But, again, Garland didn't get to play. Chatou was good, but everybody else around him was bad. Nesmith,
he went pro. Okay, so the three guys that I'm thinking of in my head of why this roster is better are actually
not playing
two,
right now.
Two are gone, and one is hurt. Yeah. All right.
Saban Lee was a 4-star. Other than that, like, Like, all their recruiting classes are pretty much in the 50s.
Well, at least they got Tim Corbin. I mean, football has been football's kind of a joke. Basketball's not going to be good again. Surely to God, they'll win a conference game this year, though, right? Like, they'll get one. Right. I mean, like, they do play Missouri at some point, right? Like, we think maybe they can steal one from Konzo.
Maybe. Where's that? Like, I'm pulling up their schedule.
Do you
now.
Have? I mean,
yeah, I have the schedule.
Are they dead last in the power ranking for the Bill Will in the SEC, Billy?
I don't have it like that, but I would say them or Ole Miss.
They only got beat by Vanderbilt by 4.
Missouri?
Who?
Vanderbilt.
You just said they got beat
by Auburn.
Missouri's defense.
Vanderbilt only lost by 4?
Yeah.
Keeps them decent compared to other teams.
Their next game, South Carolina.
That's a winnable game for Vanderbilt.
It's at South Carolina.
It's not a winnable game for Vanderbilt.
And then they go on the road to Lexington.
That one will be pretty.
Then
that one will be good.
Then they host Florida, host LSU, go to Mississippi State, host Kentucky, go to Florida, come to Tennessee, host Georgia. Then they host Missouri, and then they go to Ole Miss.
So they get the two worst teams in the conference to end the season. So they
That's to end February, to end the season. They then go to Alabama, and then they host South Carolina.
Okay.
Maybe one of the last 4?
Yeah.
Maybe.
You just need one, man. Like, if you're Jerry Stackhouse, hey, all you got to do to be better than the last guy is get one more than he did. He had 0, unfortunately. So, yeah, you're at 1. It's like Pruitt first year. It's like, hey, man, Butch won 4. Can you get us to 5? Can you just prove that you're a little bit better? That's all Stackhouse needs to do. Maybe this letter is the perfect thing to fire up his team. I do want to look at the Big 12 Challenge against the SEC, the matchup for Saturday. There's also a lot of weird, like, little one-off stories, both in college basketball, college athletics, and obviously the NFL. The draft is set for Las Vegas, and the stage is something. Do you see this?
Yeah.
I got a lot of problems with this thing. But we'll talk about that. What? Have you seen it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
It looks pretty cool.
It's a logistics nightmare. We'll discuss it on the other side. This is 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Hour 1 of 3 and Out rolls on in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Davey Hudson, Billy Wolford, myself, Houston Kress. With you this morning. Okay, I was going to do the Big 12 matchups, but I got to talk about this stage. The NFL draft in Vegas has decided that their stage will be floating in the Bellagio fountain. You think it's a good look? You think it's a good thing? I
think they'll be able to figure it out to where it'll operate smoothly.
Having dealt with boats for a while, things go wrong on boats. The last thing I need is a top round draft pick floating out there with no way to get to the stage. Boat problem, engine problem. This just seems like it's going to be a logistics nightmare. Also, like, why? Could they not have just set it up right in front of the fountains? Does it have to be on the water?
They're wanting to try something new. That's like kind of been the thing the last couple of years. Because, I mean, forever you had it in New York.
Yeah, Radio City Music Hall.
And then,
which is it's a fine venue. I thought Philadelphia did a really nice job when they had the draft. Nashville obviously knocked it out of the park. It feels like now we're just dabbling in excess for no reason.
I went to the draft last year in Nashville, and I thought it was a really cool setup. Granted, I had not been to any of the. I know they had it in Philly one year. They had it in Dallas, but obviously, just from the talking points of the people who had been there, like, Nashville by far had the best atmosphere, the coolest setup. I mean, you blocked off all of Broadway to have it, and so I think
the setup, and it was great. I mean, you had all the, because you're right there on Broadway, you've got all the bars and the shops and the touristy stuff. Like, it was a destination draft for sure.
And if there's one city in the country where it's going to be a spectacle, they're going to try to put on a show, do something a little different. I see Vegas trying to do that. So
it's going to be weird though. I mean, like, Nashville, Philadelphia, those are two pretty good fan bases. Vegas, obviously, look, they've got the Raiders coming in, but I still don't know that they're an established football city.
Well, they're not, but I think...
Is that why... So they're not worried about fans, they're just worried about what it looks like on TV? I guess that kind of makes sense.
Well, I think they'll have a lot of fans show up.
It is Vegas, yeah.
So, I mean,
gambling capital.
You got people flying in all the time, so it's not like they're going to have difficulty drawing a crowd. I mean, that area is always packed anyway.
Sure. Weather's always good.
I mean, I was there earlier this year, and I was looking after they announced like how they were going to do it. I was trying to go back and think of the setup and how it would look, and just from what I remember about like the fountains at the Bellagio and how they plan on setting this up, I think it's going to be incredible.
It just seems like with all the moving parts regarding the stage, I mean, you know, because they always bring up what was it last year? They brought up like Elijah Simmons's team, or 2 years ago, his team was up there, and you know, J.J. Watt makes the comment. Like, it seems like you have to have a lot of moving parts in and around the stage, so like a backstage area, yes, access to other hallways and doors. You're not going to have any of that on this, at least based on the rendering. It's just a big floating kind of tent.
They'll have it the green room back behind it, and then there'll be like an access way for people.
Is the green room going to be on the stage? Because they're saying they're going to take everybody over by boat. At least that's what they're saying. I don't know if that's. I mean, you see a boat in the rendering. Obviously, this is just a rendering. It may not end up looking exactly like this. And then you got like these long plank walkways. I guess if people don't, maybe they get seasick, they decide to shun the boat. They can just take the long walk.
I kind of thought they would leave by boat, not arrive. Does it say they would arrive by boat? Like they would come and walk across.
According to
NBC, and then get on the boat?
According to NBC Sports, players will arrive via boat. Also, I mean, the draft already kind of takes a long time. And it's so now we got to wait for every player that takes the stage. Like, he's got to get on his boat and then put her over there, and then they got to tie it up and dock it, and then he's got to get off carefully. I mean, it's, you know, you don't want to slip and fall. Just seems like maybe we're trying a little hard to do too much. I just foresee more. It feels like there's more possible things that could go wrong than right here. If it goes right, it looks good. If it goes wrong,
like a player falling in the water.
Yeah. Could you? I mean, guy slips, falls, getting out of a boat, tears his ACL, breaks his leg. He's already drafted at that point. How does that work? Just seems like risky business here. I do like that they're going all the different cities. This one just seems, of course, you're right. Vegas is going to be excess, right? That's what Vegas is all about. I just don't know logistically if this one makes that much sense. Like, is it really going to be that great for the TV viewer to see the floating stage? Like, I just don't know who this appeals to, I guess. Like, are people going to tune in to watch it who would not normally watch it because it's a floating stage?
I think those people will talk about it.
I mean, we're talking about it.
Well, we're a sports show.
I mean, it's cool that, you know, the fountains are going to be blowing up right behind the stage. I just feel like they could have done it right in front of the fountains on solid ground, and it would have been just as cool looking.
But something new, it's different.
Probably wouldn't be talking about it.
I feel like it being in Vegas is pretty cool. Like, first year in Vegas, first year for the Raiders in Vegas. Like, there's plenty of talking points. Just feels like they're going a little extra here. But I don't know. Maybe it will. Maybe it'll get a few more eyeballs. It's definitely going to get some conversations started. I don't know. I saw some tweet said, could you imagine Joe Burrow pulling up in an airboat, a little fan boat, with his Bayou hat on? That I would pay to see. Dude's just riding an airboat around in the Bellagio fountains. That's what we're talking about. I just feel like this, again, feels like more could go wrong than go right. But I guess we'll wait and see. Is it late April?
I'm not actually sure on the date. Hold on, I'll look it up.
I feel like it's normally late April.
It was in May this year, I thought.
Was it?
No, it might have been late April. They've gone back and forth. They used to have it a lot earlier, too. Like, I think they used to have it like late March, early April.
Yeah, and then they used to do – they've broken up, like, what days the rounds are.
April 23rd through the 25th.
So, okay, late April.
Pretty much last weekend.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I thought for a while they've had it to where Thursday night, first round, Friday night, second and third round, and then Saturday, fourth through seventh. Did they ever have it on Sundays?
Did it not used to be it started Friday and then was like, did they do first, second round Friday, and then they did the rest on the weekends? Because now you're right. Now Thursday, like the first round gets a night to itself now. So I think they went from 3 days to four to get the first round like its own special night instead of having to back up the second round picks right up against it. Because that used to be a really big deal, you know, about guys trading around in the first and second rounds, whereas now you get a day between to kind of shuffle your pieces if you got into the second round instead of having to go, you know, that night after your first round pick. Which makes sense. I mean, if you're the NFL, you want to extend the coverage of the draft. Everybody's going to watch the draft. Might as well extend it an extra day if you can.
You know where it's at next year?
Do I? No.
Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They go from Vegas to Cleveland.
Give me the stage on the water over Cleveland.
Cleveland got the draft?
Yep. They don't have a date for 2022 or a location, but in 2023 they're going to Kansas City.
Okay. You ever been to Kansas City?
Yeah.
I like Kansas City. Kansas City is a good town, good city. A lot of stuff to do. Fun environment. Cleveland?
College Basketball Hall of Fame's in Kansas City.
They got good barbecue in Kansas City. You know what they have in Cleveland? Nothing. I've been to Cleveland twice. Not by choice. It's awful. There's a big lake, and that's it. And then half the city looks like it like burned down in a fire. In fact, they tell you not to go outside downtown at night in Cleveland. Like, they tell you that at the hotel you stay at. They're going to have the draft there?
Probably be more ritzy area.
It's going to be...
I feel like the ritzy area in Cleveland is away from Cleveland. Like, it's like the Farragut of Cleveland. Like, that's where you want to be. You don't want to be downtown in Cleveland. What's the attraction in Cleveland?
They should just let Jimmy Haslam handle it. I'm sure it'll go great.
It says it will be at downtown locations around First Energy Stadium, including the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay. So, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Also, 2022 is rumored to be in a big city. As well.
Big city. Yeah.
Los Angeles.
That's helpful. It'll be a big city, yeah. Don't go to Cleveland.
Okay, Cleveland can kind of copy Nashville with the whole music-centered theme if they're wanting to have it around the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I guess that's the only thing. I mean, that's all you got in Cleveland. That's it. And there's like a Hard Rock Cafe, which I think there's probably one in every NFL city now that I think about it.
At least we're not Detroit.
I have never been
to
Detroit.
Have you heard that song?
That's like I feel like that's probably accurate. Cleveland. Huh. So are they trying to rotate to all home cities?
Yeah.
They are?
Like, that's the thing. It's just trying to hit all the NFL stops. People put in bids, and...
So it is like a rotation, but they're bidding on it also?
Mm-hmm. Because
I'd like to see the draft in Buffalo. Like, Bills Mafia getting ready for the draft. Like, there'd be a lot of busted tables. I'd be in on that. Cleveland... Is Cleveland the worst NFL city? Like, at least Detroit has, like, you know, history, right? It's Motor City. It's Cleveland?
Maybe Jacksonville.
That's what I was going to say. But in April, at least Jacksonville is going to be
pretty. That's what I'm saying. Like,
weather, the weather's good.
You can at least get to a beach. Like, you can at least get to something that is fun and enjoyable. You can't do that in Cleveland. Like, Buffalo, you got Niagara Falls. You know, you've got, some touristy things to do there. Kansas City, same way. Like, there's just, you know, barbecue. There's pretty good downtown area, some nightlife.
Maybe Green Bay. That might be the worst. I know they got history, but there's nothing to do in that city.
Green Bay's like, it's different, right? Because it's like the whole idea is that it's small town, fan owned.
Like, it doesn't.
But you don't go to Green Bay to like hang out. Like, you don't bachelor weekend in Green Bay.
Yeah. Like, has anyone ever took a vacation to Green Bay not centered around a Packers football game?
No. Or just the Packers in general? Yeah, probably not. Probably not happening. Okay, well, now that we're talking about, you know, Cleveland, yeah, give me the floating stage. You sold me, Billy. You're right. Like, Cleveland's a nightmare. Floating stage in Vegas all of a sudden does not seem that terrible. All for it. Some other NFL announcements yesterday, including some Eli Manning news, some Drew Brees news, and Antonio Brown. We talked about this yesterday. No way this entire situation ends in anything but tragedy. He's in the news again. We'll give you the Antonio Brown and NFL update on the other side. Final segment, first hour, 3 and Out in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Tease it a little bit. before the break, it's official. Eli Manning, not going to be a backup, retires after 16 seasons in the NFL. I guess it's not surprising. Didn't want to be a backup in New York. Didn't want to be a backup anywhere. Decided to go out with his one game under. Or did he get back to 500?
He's exactly 500. At 500.
Okay, good for him. Good for him. Not a winning record, not a losing record. That's about as Eli of a number as you can get. Like, the fact that he has two Super Bowls is a damn miracle.
Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened.
Yeah, like, what do Giants fans think about Eli? Are they like, he got us the Super Bowls, but man, this guy was pretty bad for a while. Like, is he a Hall of Famer because he won two Super Bowls? Do you have to be above 500 to be a Hall of Famer?
I think there's only six quarterbacks that have won two Super Bowls or more.
I don't think his stats line up to get him.
I don't either.
I could be wrong on that, but
I mean, I kind of feel like beating the undefeated Patriots in the Super Bowl is enough. Like, everyone on that team, like, obviously the team itself is in the Hall of Fame. If that quarterback in that team, like, maybe you get the nod. But 16 seasons in the NFL, and again, I just, like, this was the most Eli Manning career of all time. Like, won some games, somehow got into a championship, also finished 500, and threw a lot of really bad picks.
Do you want to hear a case for Eli Manning?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, Manning is one of only 12 quarterbacks in NFL history to win more than one Super Bowl. And of the eight quarterbacks who are already eligible for the Hall of Fame, seven have been inducted.
So he's probably going to get in. Good for him. I'll take it.
He was the MVP of both Super Bowls that he won.
Really?
Yeah.
I figured they'd give the Tyree guy the MVP in the one with that catch.
He only had one catch, though.
I mean, it was the catch, though.
He's one of only six multiple Super Bowl MVPs in history.
Yeah, you got to put him in then. I mean, it's crazy, but I think he has to make it.
Unanimous first bout.
No, I feel like no one's a unanimous first bout. Like, I don't follow baseball, but people are flipping out because one vote didn't come in for Derek Jeter.
Which is, that's how it should be.
What do you mean? Well, it should have been unanimous, or should be a holdout?
Yeah, I think there should be a holdout. Like,
King Griffey Jr. is a better player than Derek Jeter, and Derek Jeter got more votes than he did.
Was there seven? So seven people didn't have Griffey on their ballot?
I'm not sure on the number, but I know percent-wise, I think it was 99.4.
For Griffey?
Yeah.
And
Jeter was 99.7.
Yeah, I think there's already a history that you can't – no one can go in unanimous now.
Mariano Rivera.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
It does.
He's the only unanimous.
It does feel like baseball voters, like, they're very persnickety. Like, they're very curmudgeon-y. They just there's always something that someone has against a certain player where they're not going
to
get in. I mean,
you have to get 75% to make the Hall of Fame.
They both got 99. Okay. I mean, I think they obviously should both be in. It is wild to me that Ken Griffey Jr. isn't a unanimous. I mean, even Derek Jeter. Look, I'm not a Yankees fan, but I mean, the guy was sensational. But yeah, I feel like based on the stats that Billy just gave, like, Eli's probably getting in. I don't know about unanimous. How many opportunities do you get in the NFL? Is it just like you just keep going up and getting votes and didn't make it, try again next year? Or do they have like the five ballot limit? Isn't baseball a limit? Like, if you don't make it after, I can't remember how many tries it is. Like, you're off the list forever?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Manning also
Barry
ranks.
Still makes the list.
Bonzo's great with the Pirates, though.
Just put an asterisk up there and put him in. Same with McGuire.
Put him in for his Pirates.
Same with Sosa.
Career.
What?
You lost me on McGuire and Sosa. I agree with Bonds.
Wait, it's the same thing. Like, they each had success. They had the home run.
I feel like Bonds was better before.
No, he was. He was. He was a better player before the steroids than those two guys were. But the steroids, you know, that was like the most fun baseball's ever been when you were having the home run record challenge seemingly every year. And then the battle between, like, McGuire and Sosa that one year, that was fun. And I'm not even a baseball guy. Just put the asterisk up there. Get these guys in the Hall of Fame. Add Pete Rose. Case closed. I mean, you already got enough scandals going on right now in baseball. Let's just make a couple more. Let's have some more controversy. Davey said it the other day. Baseball needs a scandal. They need talking points. Get these guys in the Hall of Fame. The baseball candle will burn all year. Back to the NFL. A warrant has officially been issued for the arrest of Antonio Brown following the incident at his Hollywood, Florida home. Told you yesterday, man, this does not end in anything other than tragedy. And I know a lot of people, we've talked about it a little bit, like the CTE possibility here. Does it not feel like the hit from Vontaze Burfict completely changed Antonio Brown's like makeup? Like, I don't know if maybe I just hadn't seen him much like speak or be in front of a camera, but then he leaves Pittsburgh and it has just been a complete bleep show from like from the second he announced he wasn't going back to Pittsburgh.
I think Pittsburgh did a good job of just trying to keep everything under wraps with their players.
Oh, incredible. They did an incredible job. If it was as bad as it is now behind the scenes in Pittsburgh, like the fact that they put up with this for as long as they did and kept it quiet is remarkable.
Well, didn't Ben Roethlisberger like blast him on the airwaves one, like before he left?
I vaguely remember that. And I don't remember exactly what he said, but I felt like he kind of took some shots. We got some guys in the locker room that, you know, are kind of divas and kind of problems, and we got to get that fixed. It was something along those lines. I don't know if he specifically mentioned Antonio Brown, but I feel like he mentioned an incident that had recently happened with Antonio Brown to allude exactly who he was talking about. But yeah, like he's done, right? Like he's never going to play in the NFL again.
Right now, I would put money on that being the case.
Yeah, who gives him a chance?
Cleveland. Like, if there was one franchise that you would say, yeah, they probably signed up for this. Well, don't you think it would be Cleveland? They took Odell, and he's gone crazier in Cleveland than he was in New York. Like, maybe New York deserves a lot of credit. Maybe the Giants organization deserves a lot of credit for keeping Odell Beckham in somewhat of a check. It's just sad for Antonio Brown. Like, it really is just not funny anymore. Like, he's going on, Instagram Live when he's just cussing at the police. He's apparently now beating up moving company drivers. Like, it's a big wreck. It's bad.
According to court documents obtained by TMZ, Brown threw a rock at the driver's moving truck before the alleged battery outside of his home on Tuesday. The documents allege that Brown later forced his way into the driver's side of the main cabin of the truck and began to physically strike the driver after a disagreement over payment escalated.
So he didn't want to pay the guy, and so he throws rocks at him?
$4,000.
Brown was then restrained by associates, and he has been, they say he had retreated into his home where he would not speak with police.
And so now they
issued the warrant.
So does he have to turn himself in, or will they go physically remove him from his home?
If he doesn't.
Yeah, Clay was saying that they wanted him to turn himself in this morning.
Right.
And if he didn't, they were going to go arrest him.
I need somebody in his life to just tell him to go to the police station. Like, I really don't need him, like, hunkered in the house when the cops show up. Like, that just that has me terrified of what the headline could be later this afternoon. Like, I need someone in his life to just go ahead and be like, bro, I'm driving you. We're going to get you some help.
Well, Rosenhaus dropped contact with him, his agent, said that he gets help.
Said that yesterday. Like, do you know how serious the issues have to be if Drew Rosenhaus is saying, yeah, I don't really want the 3% anymore. Like, I'll just take it and we'll cut ties here. Like, that has to be bad. Hour 2 of 3 and Out kicks off after this break.